It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I could, like, wear a boa. You could call me Dick Eisen or something like that. I could come up with a persona.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And dangerous, Dick Eisen.
What do you know, what do you think? I'm shooting my shot. I'm going YOLO right here with Stephanie McMahon.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Ben Lyons. Today's guests.
Golf Digest host and producer Hallie Ledbetter. Plus, documentary director Sean Fine and Andrea Nix.
And now, sitting in for Rich, here's Ben Lyons.
Welcome, everyone, to the Rich Eisen Show. Ben Lyons filling in for Rich on a Monday, July the 19th, 2021. Excited to be here with the whole gang this week. Rich, of course, is out, but I'll be here through Friday. I got a chance to hang out on the show last week, but I was all by my lonesome. So it's nice to have Rockman and Jay and TJ and everybody here. I'm going to find out at some point today who the person on the text message chain was who didn't know who Colin Morikawa was.
I will immediately call him out, TJ. Come on, bro.
Tekashi Chris Brockman over here with the quick bam. Boom.
Man, you know snitches get stitches, right, Ben? That's what they say. My man dropped a dime on me with the quickness.
Real
over
quick,
there.
Brockman. Holy, yeah.
I mean, the question wasn't even out of your mouth, and he's already like, that guy right there. It was him.
Well, Brockman, come on. I mean, it's also a little embarrassing, TJ, for you to be on a sports show of this magnitude and not know who the greatest young golfer in the game is.
We all know that me and golf, you know, it's something that I'm starting to acquire a taste for, Ben. And I had more important things to me going on last night, like watching Money in the Bank. So that's why I didn't really know.
Except that Morikawa won the championship by around noon Pacific time. So time really wasn't a factor.
There went that argument.
Well, hey, man, you got to really prepare to climb those ladders, guys.
It's not too often where I feel compelled to come onto a show like this and open with golf. However, when someone is not aware of what's happening in the sport, I feel the duty to kind of inform them and help them get up to speed because watching is the emergence of a great young star.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're seeing that across all sports. That was the topic of conversation last week, the Major League Baseball All-Star festivities, yes. Not only around Otani, but Vlad Guerrero Jr., who went yard again this weekend, I think twice. So the emergence of young stars. You're seeing it on the NBA final stage with Giannis coming to the full strength of his powers, Devin Booker becoming a household name. And now you're seeing it in golf with Colin and what he's doing, winning his second major. And I just love watching him. I love watching his game. I was telling you guys before we started, he grew up here in Southern California, the pride of Kenyatta Flint Ridge, just above Pasadena. And he grew up playing at this random golf course out here. Nobody in the golf scene in LA is aware of this course. It's the Chevy Chase Country Club. It's in this secret little pocket of the Glendale Mountains. There's no driving range, only 9 holes, incredibly inventive layout. And Colin would go out there as a kid with a bucket of balls, and he would make up his own holes. He'd say, I'm going to tee off on the second tee box and finish on the 8th green. And I'm going to take a bucket of balls out to the 4th hole and play it 10 times in a row. And it's that shot making that was ingrained in him at a young age that we saw on full display on golf's greatest stage yesterday on an international level. And it wasn't about going to the driving range and becoming a robot and becoming mechanical and just training. It was about feel and creativity and being inventive. And I just love the celebration of the individuality of a sport that it allows your personality to shine through it. So I think Colin did an amazing job yesterday across the pond. And eventually, I don't know if it's going to take three majors, four, five. Eventually, TJ will know who this dude is. Well, first, but he's on the right track.
First and foremost, Ben, I appreciate you. Instead of trying to mock me, you tried to help educate me. And I appreciate that about you because now I know I'm into him now. Just from that story kind of told me, you know, how this kid got to be where he is and who he is. And that. Now I'm on the train.
No, I'm here for the mocking. I want to shame you for not knowing who this dude is. You know, because of the way the pandemic hit the sports world last year, golf was unique in the fact that there was no British Open last year, Open Championship, but there were six majors jam-packed into a very short amount of time, and this kid won two. It was so impressive. He put himself on the map as one of the rising young stars in the game. He's only 24, and he is going to be in our lives for a very long time now. And he, when it's all said and done, could he have more major championships than Phil Mickelson? Is Tom Watson's eight in his? Is that a real possibility? I was listening to a golf podcast yesterday, and they kind of set the over-under for him at 4.5, and I'm thinking, that sounds way low. Like, he could get double that. This kid is that good, and he's doing it against competition that is so incredibly tough when you talk about the guys he beat out there. Louis Oosthuizen, who has now six runner-ups. Brooks Koepka, he held off. Dustin Johnson, he held off. Of course, Jordan Spieth. All these great players. It is remarkable what this kid is doing, and I cannot wait to see what's next for him.
So coming up a little bit later on in the show, we'll have Hallie Ledbetter from Golf Digest. She's across the pond right now in France at the Evian Championship. She's going to call in and continue to talk a little Colin Morikawa. But I'm like you, TJ. There were some other things going on in the sports universe this weekend, and of course the NBA Finals, top of my mind, and the iconic performances we saw, the legendary moments. I don't know about you guys. I'm getting to know you on the radio this week. And again, it's Ben Lyons filling in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. As always, you can hit us up at Rich Eisen Show across your social media platforms. But I'm an NBA Finals junkie. Like, I'm a historian. I love it. It takes you back to your childhood. I was always at the end of the school year. So you've got this feeling of hope that's just filled with, you know, in you with the summer ahead. And I'm sitting there watching the game last night, two nights ago. And it's a great basketball game. However, it didn't feel like there was that iconic finals moment. Yeah. I need the Michael Jordan switching hands in the Gatorade commercial. I need the shrug. I need the finals moment. I need the Nick Anderson meltdown at the free throw. I need these moments that I can directly connect to the NBA finals, the Iverson step over. And I thought maybe it's when Mike Breen says, like, Middleton's cooking or something. And I was like, I think I tweeted it, and then I probably deleted it. I was like, we found our moment. It's a Chris Middleton 17-foot jump shot. But then the steal from Jrue Holiday and the alley-oop to Giannis with LeBron sitting there in, they're not capri pants, but they're very tight.
And a bottle of tequila under his chair.
His BYOT, his bring-your-own-tequila. Which is tremendous. He's the only athlete in all the sports world who can bring in wine. He can bring in tequila. Like, if I showed up here today with a bottle of chin and Channing Frye Chosen Family, you guys would have looked at me like I was nuts. Although they get great Pinot Noir in the Willamette Valley.
We would have been pouring.
I would have said Ben's ready to party.
Enjoyed it. But
that moment, that was so epic. It was so iconic. And it's everything I love about the NBA Finals. I thought it was incredible.
It was everything from the rip.
Oh, my goodness. And just talk about the two moments that Giannis has had in this playoffs mere weeks after his knee exploded and we all thought he was done. He had the block on Ayton a couple of games ago and then the iconic slam dunk on the alley-oop while Chris Paul is, for some strange reason, two hands shoving him out of bounds.
It's very Mark Jackson-esque. Remember Jordan going up in the garden and catching that alley-oop? Yeah. And he sways to the right, and he sways back into Mark Jackson. He's kind of there. Mark Jackson also in the Tom Chambers dunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which, by the way, low-key, one of the greatest dunks ever in the history of anyone ever getting dunked on the planet Earth.
Cam Johnson would like to see you and raise that.
I tweeted that. That was Cam Johnson did his
That's where the Mark
Tom
Jackson,
Chambers.
There goes that man. It's because, there goes that man. And it's you getting dunked on constantly.
My question for you guys is, if you're Bucks fans, what statue do they put outside in the deer territory? Do they do the alley-oop or do they do the block? Like, when the Bucks finish this off, which I kind of think they're going to,
clearly not.
What statue do they?
Not play? A hunter. The deer territory doesn't sound so official back then.
What is the official name of that place?
It's the Deer District.
Deer District. My apologies to Milwaukee.
There's nothing else going on in Milwaukee, so let's go hang out in the parking lot is what it's called.
With like 20,000 people, it's insane.
Again, not much going on in Milwaukee. I think the stare down.
Good one.
You know, it didn't happen in the building there in Milwaukee, but after the dunk, the way he looked back at Chris, and yeah, there it is on our friends at Peacock putting it up right now. The stare down, which is just what underneath it, just to say what.
Yeah.
And it just shows Giannis. But think about it. I mean, the guy's selling trinkets on the streets of Greece 10 years ago.
Yep.
And now he's, you know, two-time MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, 26 years old, on the verge of winning his first NBA championship. What a life journey. What a great story. It's going to be told in a Disney movie. It is being told in a Disney movie.
Who plays Giannis?
His brother.
I think it's an unknown. I think they cast someone, unknown.
Amazing.
And I think it's based on his life before basketball. You have a documentary about his journey. I mean, what a culmination of a life and a journey. And he's just getting started. He's 26.
He's just getting started. I think Bill Simmons, tweeted this out over the weekend. Whatever you thought the ceiling was for Giannis's career has been totally smashed to smithereens. I mean, we're talking about a guy who could end up top 10 all time when it's all said and done. And I don't think that's outrageous to say.
You know what's funny? As you get older as a sports fan, you start to have some historical perspective and you remember certain moments from your own fandom and your own journey. It's kind of like Jordan and the Pistons and the Jordan rules and the idea that he couldn't get past this flaw in his game and needed others to help him. Let's not be revisionist historians
here. Of course.
And now Giannis gets through his wall. He gets over his wall, the whole Giannis wall. He couldn't break that. He couldn't. The Boston beat him in the playoffs, the Giannis wall. And now he's able, with the help of others, Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday. Don't forget, I just want to give a shout out because I haven't heard his name mentioned at all. Dante DiVincenzo. Let's give that guy a little love.
I feel bad for him not
starting
being around.
Starting two guard from Milwaukee Bucks. Going to get a ring maybe, but not in the mix. Injuries plaguing everybody, so I don't want to hear this. Oh, it's the injuries. That's why the Bucks had success. No, they've been knocking on the door. They made moves. They bet on Drew Holiday. I'm on a text message chain with my high school teammates.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my buddies, he's like, Drew Holiday is not a top 10 guy in the NBA, point guard in the NBA. Why is he getting $150 million? He's outplaying Chris Paul in the NBA Finals.
Can't argue that point.
Had a great offensive first half the other night. Set the tone for them. Even though they go down 16, they take that punch, that first punch from Phoenix. Man, they were championship stuff the other night. And it's great to put it in its historical place, its context. And you need those iconic moments that just give it that extra feel. It's the highest level of basketball in the world.
You know, the Bucks really do have a big three, but no one's ever going to put them on the level of a Celtics big three or Warriors big three, but Middleton along with Giannis and Holiday. I mean, that's a big three that's carrying those
Middleton
guys.
Has been their closer. He has been unbelievable. Ice water in his veins, the killer instinct, any phrase you want to use there. He's the guy who takes the big shot when they need it, and more often than not this playoffs, he's been making it.
He's the guy at LA Fitness when you go and you try and get a run. All of a sudden you look, you're like, yo, that guy's been on for five games in a row.
Yeah.
Like his team is scoring 8 points lose. Like every game.
Somebody at the park about 2 weeks ago asked me, who would you compare Chris Middleton to? Like, who's like, well, from?
Ooh.
I was like, oh, he kind of is like a little taller, longer Allen Houston. Nope.
No.
He's way more killer than Allen Houston. And I love Allen Houston. I'm a Knicks fan. That shot in Miami is one of my highlights from my Knicks fandom history. Yeah.
Middleton is not the shooter that Allen Houston was, though.
He is when it counts. He is down the stretch. He was crazy efficient in this series. He's been nice. Houston was sort of dressed up and advertised to us like he was this marksman and this three-point specialist. Middleton's just a bucket. He's just good.
He's doing it.
And he's going to save Team USA just like he saved the Bucks. Really? Are you kidding me? Like there's like six guys who are waiting in Tokyo right now, waiting for Middleton.
Is he
going to
have anything left?
Yes, because he's like LA Fitness guy. He's just got another five games, run it back.
Yeah.
I mean, man.
Maybe it was Max Kellerman who said this, but like he doesn't There's nothing physically imposing about Chris Middleton other than his size. He's kind of like Paul Pierce in that sense. Like, he's not ripped up like Giannis. He's not shredded. He's like balding, which is like, just shave it all off, bro. But like, he just goes out there, and like you said, he's a walking bucket.
Like, Paul Pierce is like beefy. Like, Chris Middleton is long and lanky, and it's like,
I just mean they're not physically imposing other than their size. Like, there's no muscle cut, you know, they're not like ripped or anything.
Yeah, you don't walk onto the court and you see him and go, oh, maybe I'll sit this game out.
No, you're like, okay, that guy's tall, whatever.
And but then also, there's something about, you know, some people have the theory, and with quarterbacks, you have to have that name. Just sounds like a quarterback. Mac Jones. You sound like a quarterback, you know? Even for NBA players.
Brett Favre.
Paul Pierce. It just sounds distinguished.
Good name.
Yeah, Chris Middleton.
What? And he spells Chris with a K.
Chris with a K.
Like, get out of here.
Is he one of like the kids that we're gonna see in a month when they do the Little League World Series? And they're like, who's your favorite player, kid? And he's like, oh, I love Vlad Guerrero Jr. Oh, Chris Middleton, a second baseman for the Iowa, you know, Corns.
David Eckstein.
I hit dingers.
Unbelievable performance in game five.
He's been
on
awesome.
The road and awesome. A reminder of just the difference with the bubble last year. Just the energy in the building to go on the road when there are those dudes counting money.
Can we talk about that guy for a minute?
Can we talk about the Phoenix fans who look like they're at the Sahara tent at Coachella? Like when Diplo's about to go on and
exactly,
you're just,
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen,
timing it, you're timing it all together.
Like they're at XS in Vegas, like ready to jump in the pool.
I feel like they all have wristbands on because they got into a certain section of the party. It's ridiculous.
The mindset of that guy, I would watch one of those 30 for 30 shorts on that guy's day.
The money guy.
Like his whole day. Like he woke up. Did he have this thought? When did he have the thought? Was it on a text thread with his buddies? Did he see something on Instagram? Was it an ad that popped up? How much money was in his checking account when he went to the ATM? Did he take all $1,200 out of his account?
I want to see an iconoclast with him and the guy from game two who had the headband around his head.
Yeah.
Who was like the Phoenix House Mafia. It's like Swedish House Mafia, but for Tempe. He was just totally
vibing out there. The guy that was sitting in front of the money guy in the red velvet Hugh Hefner smoking jacket and the bleach blonde spiked hair. What was that guy's story? Did they come together?
A lot of unanswered questions around the NBA Finals, and luckily we have another game, possibly two, so we'll get into that this week. We've got Ryan Hollins coming on the show a little bit later. Maybe Ryan will have some answers on who the guy in the red velvet suit was at the Suns game in the NBA Finals. Plus, Hallie Ledbetter in about an hour. She's going to call in. She's from Golf Digest, going to break down this Colin Morikawa win yesterday, getting a second major. Lots going on a Monday. It's Ben Lyons filling in for Rich, hanging with the guys on the Rich Eisen Show. Be right back.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guests work is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Ben Lyons in for Rich, hanging out with the guys. As always, you can be a part of the show. Just hit us up at Rich Eisen Show. That conversation Rich had with Damian Lillard was from 3 years ago. And some of the themes that Rich brought up in the interview seem rather relevant now, don't they, guys?
Mm-hmm. Man, it's really interesting. It's really interesting. He had some comments where he thinks, you know, they're not close, but it doesn't seem like he's close to demanding a trade, right?
It's an interesting thing that's happened in the NBA since the Gotcha Finals. This is the 10-year anniversary of the Gotcha Finals, 2011. It's the first time in my memory that I remember the collective energy around the sport of basketball was, ha ha, gotcha. You said you were going to win 4, 5, and 6 in Miami, and you didn't.
Right.
JJ Barea shut you down in game 4. Which happened.
It happened.
But since then, some other stuff has happened too. And that's a whole other conversation regarding LeBron. But I bring this up because the collective energy around basketball changed, where now there seems to be a villain. There's somebody who receives the vitriol from the collective because of a choice of wanting to switch teams, which is absolutely ridiculous. If you think about it in the grand scheme of life. TJ, you do an awesome job here. I know how much you love working here. You talked about last week on your off week while I was in doing the show. You would have loved to have come in for a segment. Mm-hmm. You love it. Hate to tell you, if Dan Le Batard calls with a big check, something tells me you might be going to Miami. It's okay. And you'll get a lot of love from everybody here too, Rich and Chris. He might be a little salty at first. Mm-hmm. Who else are they going to make fun of the Cowboys to? But you know what? The radio show will go on. But you'll be allowed to go switch teams and not have the entire sports media world screaming for your death.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Right. Damian Lillard doesn't know if that he's going to have that option or not. If he signs up for this, it might come with all this other stuff, which is totally understandable if somebody in his position isn't quick to sign up for that or to be hesitant about that or genuinely on a human level conflicted. So this narrative around, okay, first it was LeBron, then it's KD, and then it's AD, and now it's Lillard, and there's always going to be a guy who fans are either pushing out or pushing to see if they double down on staying.
It was almost Giannis last year.
Exactly, and I think that's a big reason why Milwaukee's having success. They got that out of the conversation.
And by the way, Ben, this is probably going to be delightful music to your ears. It's going to be Zion next year because it's already started. Zion is going to be with his third head coach in 3 NBA seasons. Fourth, if you count Coach K. And he is going to get that. He stirred it up himself with Mecca comments when the Pelicans played the Knicks, you know, a few months ago. And it's going to happen again. And it's going to happen every single year. There's someone huge that's up in free agency.
I wonder if our radio audience can hear my smile.
It's enormous.
It's ear to ear.
You have
it's,
great teeth.
Thank you. It's like Ben Affleck says in that poker movie. He says, you can see my smile. It's ear to ear.
Cheshire Cat comes to mind.
I'm a huge fan of Christopher Nolan. We're going to talk a little bit about the anniversary of The Dark Knight later on in the show. Yeah, but one of his other great films is Inception. Mm-hmm. And one of my goals this week coming in to fill in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show, Ben Lyons here in studio, was to inception the Zion conversation to New York, and it worked in the second segment. That was in the back pocket till Wednesday.
I mean, I was Drew Holiday throwing up that alley-oop to you.
Speaking of Drew Holiday, we talked about this, and we'll figure out what happens with Dame. He'll either say something or not say something over the 2 weeks in Japan. August 1st is the new July 1st. They'll either move him before the draft, or if they hold on to him after the draft, I think he'll be in Portland for long term. I think the chances
of him demanding a trade are low.
Yeah, are very low. It's just kind of hyped right now. But
I think Dame's already sampling cheesesteaks, guys, of the Philly variety.
You're stupid.
You mentioned Holiday, and we celebrate the Gronkowski family And those other bros don't even play. They just crush life, right?
They were backup fullbacks.
We celebrate anyone who's got the name Manning. It could be a second cousin twice removed who now is playing high school somewhere in Louisiana.
Eighth grader right now.
Right. A 6-on-6 in Texas. There's a Manning who's lighting it up, right? And everybody goes, no. Holidays, Antetokounmpos, they got five guys in this NBA finals? Or they have five guys in the NBA? Six guys in the NBA.
Six guys because
six guys in the NBA, Costas three in the finals.
The Lakers,
yeah. Yeah, you got three in the finals, six in the NBA. If you took a family, if you took Giannis's family, Drew's family,
Curries.
Let's throw in the Curries and the Morris family. Four families.
The four families.
Can I get two titles in 4 years from that team?
Oh, man.
Think about that. It's incredible. We need to celebrate the Holiday family.
And if you break it down by position, too, you got Steph, you got MVPs.
Yep.
You got NBA champions.
Inside, outside.
Inside, outside, size, versatility. You got the Morris brothers.
Toughness.
For some toughness, some intimidation, some grit.
You've got depth. You know, they always talk about when you're guarding a great player, your beloved Brooklyn Nets, the Brooklyn Globetrotters. You have so many memories of going out to the Barclays and just so many nights. That game so 7 amazing. You lost at home against Nate Robinson and the Bulls, that one just eats at you still. The diehards in Brooklyn. I digress. But the idea that could that team go out there and compete with some of the great family, like the great other teams in the NBA right now, the team of families.
So that's what we were asking before the show. Yeah. Could that team, those four families, the Currys, the Antetokounmpos, the Morris brothers,
and the Holidays,
could they beat a healthy Brooklyn Nets in a 7-game series?
Could they beat a healthy Eastern Conference All-Stars? Like, you have Giannis and Steph. And Drew Holiday. There's your big three.
There's your big three.
You've got depth. You've got toughness. You got athletes. I just think it's interesting in sports which families we kind of choose to celebrate or acknowledge. But three guys in the NBA at the same time.
I was saying that pre-show, like we always knew about the Mannings, but then there's so many sets of brothers in the NFL that no one ever talks about. And no idea why that is.
Well, some of them go on to host The Bachelor.
He hosted the After the Rose ceremony.
Some of them get nominated for an Emmy for hosting The Bachelor. Shout out to Emmanuel Acho, the Emmy-nominated linebacker for the Texas Longhorns.
Crossover. Talk about the Jones brothers. Chandler Jones, shout out Syracuse. Arthur Jones. And John Jones, the greatest UFC fighter ever.
It might be his birthday today, too. Saw that on the birthday list. We'll get to that a little bit later.
How many coffee tables and walls were ruined in that house growing up?
Man, what did Mother Jones feed those kids? You have two Super Bowl champions and a multiple-time UFC light heavyweight champion. And I say multiple
times.
That's
what we need for July 4th. My father loves the hot dog eating contest, but we've seen that guy out there for 10 years.
Joey Chestnut.
Yeah, Joey Chestnut and the whole... Can we get for the families? Like, I'll get the Gronkowski family versus the Jones family. Like,
in what? Like, in eating contest?
Yes, in competitive eating. Are the Gronk brothers and those Jones brothers going to town on some hot dogs? That says America.
I tune in for that.
I would take the Gronk brothers if it came to like shotgunning Coors Lights. I don't know if they could eat hot dogs.
Keeping it with the America theme. Ben Lyons filling in for Rich. This is the Rich Eisen Show. We're talking a little NBA Finals from the Bucks perspective. But now you're flying from Phoenix to Milwaukee, which is just such a great Southwest flight.
That is a Southwest.
That's such a strong, right? Phoenix to Milwaukee, trying to get to Chicago.
I've never done that flight.
Well, I could fly to Milwaukee, rent a car, and drive. It's probably cheaper. Yeah. So the Phoenix Suns flight has got to be tough because you're up 16 in the first half.
16, first quarter.
First
it's 37-21 to end the first quarter. And then Milwaukee rolls off like 45 in the second to just take control of the game.
You got the orange promotional towels. Phoenix, definitely one of those NBA arenas that can color coordinate their fans. Can't do that in L.A. Can't do that in New York.
Cannot do that in L.A.
In Miami, it's easy to just wear white linen. But you see some of the cities like Phoenix and... My beloved team-in-law, the Utah Jazz, and my wife's from Utah, so I watch a lot of Jazz basketball.
They coordinate.
Joe Ingles does a lot of hot yoga. No, that's the secret.
Joe Ingles is on the all-LA fitness team.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely where he's won four or five games in a row. All of a sudden, you're like, wow, Joe Ingles.
Who's this guy?
shut down Paul George in the playoffs.
Hey.
Not this year, a couple years back. God, I get on such tangents with you guys. I go down to Joe Ingles hot yoga and it just throws me off.
No, but we're talking
from Phoenix.
We're talking about Phoenix, from the Phoenix perspective. And I also think
Chris Paul looks hurt. And it'll be one of those stories that comes out a week or two after the finals, win or lose, that something's happened to his hand, and that's okay. And he's, you know, year 16 and you're 36 years old. Something's going to, you know, you get some aches and pains. I get it.
It's kind of weird because they're up 2-0, and, you know, we're here talking about this on our show about how it finally feels like Chris Paul's time.
Culmination of a Hall of Fame career.
Absolutely.
Get out of the Barclays Stockton Malone Club.
Top five point guard on TJ. I forget where we put him on our list a few months back. But
I think he was like five.
One of the greatest point guards of all time. Surefire Hall of Famer. Gets this championship monkey off his back. Gets the label of never been to the conference finals. Now he'd never been to the NBA finals. But now, once again, he is going to have that. ESPN Stats and Info put out this insane tweet this morning about how he could lose an NBA series in the playoffs after being up 2-0 again for like the sixth straight time.
I saw that tweet, and it felt like it was the interns running the asylum.
It did. It felt like, did someone have a beef?
Oh, yeah, the only other player to do that, too, was Blake Griffin.
Is this a disgruntled Clipper fan, or is it just someone taking a shot at these two guys? But now that becomes the narrative, though. First Take is talking about it this morning. If the Suns don't win this series, what is the word that you use to describe Chris Paul and his career now?
A winner? I don't know. Hall of Famer, an incredible human being, an inspiration. We get so lost in the sauce and caught in the moment. The idea that him making the finals and losing is somehow bad for his legacy as opposed to never making the finals?
Exactly.
This man made Jamal McGlure an all-star, I believe.
And you can't keep moving the finish line for Chris Paul. The whole thing, his entire career was Chris Paul never made the finals. He never made the finals.
His whole career was never made the conference finals.
So he finally makes the conference finals. Then he gets to the finals. And now we're going to move the finish line even further back and go, well, he didn't win the finals. So, like, nah, man.
Leads the players through unprecedented social change.
Yeah.
Out there, a champion for HBCUs, out there as a father figure in these State Farm commercials. He's been giving Jake buckets for years. Man, I really hope that the conversation doesn't change to, oh, Chris Paul's a loser, can't win the big one, couldn't get it done when it mattered, choked.
Well,
how life works.
A lot of Twitter talk now, guys, is how dirty it is, because you made reference to the push. I didn't think the push on the Oop was that bad. But then again, I grew up watching Kurt Rambis, like, you know, Russian sickle Kevin McHale in finals games. So to me, the two-inch shove didn't seem as bad.
Personal second team foul. That's what that was.
So, yeah. You know, I'm from that era. So that push on Giannis didn't seem as bad. But now everything on Twitter was like, well, he's so dirty. He's been that way his whole career. It's like,
was that same energy towards Jokic when he had a mental breakdown in the third quarter of game four and they lost?
I think with Jokic, people were, and Brockman, correct me if I'm wrong, were a little bit more worried about what his brothers were going to do.
For the eating contest. You bring in some Serbian delicacies, okay, those dudes would crush.
All right, hold on. I'm going to put up a poll here. So who are the families in the eating contest?
The Gronks.
The Jones, the Joneses.
And the Antetokounmpos. They're too thin. They're really good shape. You could tell Giannis and his brothers aren't going to.
But I feel like you're in such great shape because you have a strong metabolism and you would need that in competitive eating. Kobayashi's not a big dude.
That's
Joey
true.
Chestnut's not a big dude.
But have you seen Giannis? He looks like carbs in him don't really cross paths.
Did you hear how excited he was early on in his career that Milwaukee had smoothies? Do you remember this? Can you imagine if you put a whole tray of hot dogs or hamburgers in a competitive? First of all, that guy wants to win no matter what it is. He's so competitive.
Are they all
he doesn't
lined
look
up
back. That's your ego. He looks forward. That was hot dogs.
That was incredible, by the way. That soundbite. Did you hear that, Brockman?
Yes, I did.
That was amazing.
Giving life wisdom.
At 26.
I'm more thinking about the eating contest. How are we logistically laying this out? Do they tag team each other in? So, like, one brother eats one and then the next one eats one?
Golfers. You know who Colin Morikawa is. Let me just turn to this side of the studio here. You guys are golfers. So you know that, you know, sometimes you play a match with your buddy and your buddy's a little better. And somehow the rules of the match really just comes down to you play his ball the whole time.
Right.
You want to have everybody's ball be a part of it.
Okay, so we just line everyone up together and then just total family total is kind of.
Yeah, this is the big three. This is what Ice Cube was really starting to do. It was just to get three guys up there and you bring a tray of food and it's the team effort. How much can the whole family get through?
Right.
I think that would be great.
I'm just logistically kind of mapping this out.
Again, a theme on the show this week is Ben filling in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. We digress. but if you're the Phoenix Suns, just from like an X's and O's nerdy basketball, Monty Williams with a clipboard, he's got Willie Green there. What do they come up with to try to get back on track and get a win? It's the first time they've lost back-to-back games in the postseason. First time they've lost three games in a row. I think since Christmas or something crazy.
Yeah, they put up 120 points and lost at home. So I'm not sure what more they can do. They need Chris Paul to miraculously get healthy and not turn the ball over. And I think, honestly, it's going to come down to can Devin Booker score 50 points?
He scored 42 in a loss, scored 40 in loss, had back-to-back 40-point games.
But
did it efficiently, too. Did it on over, you know, 60, over 50% from the field.
But that's kind of my point. Like, is it just kind of a no-win situation for Phoenix here? These guys played pretty much at their best. Chris Paul had 11 assists and shot 9 of 15.
It's not sexy to talk about, but it's the others traveling. You got to give me something from the two Cams. Cam Johnson, Cam Payne, you got to give me something in Milwaukee.
Jay Crowder probably needs to make Mikal 4 or 5
Bridges,
threes.
Yeah, 27 in game two. You hit me with 4 in game three and 7 in game four.
Yeah,
it's not going to do it. So can one of the others show up and we get ourselves a game seven, which is
And honestly, they need one of those kind of, we haven't seen many this playoffs, but they need a Middleton clunker. Like he's got to go eight.
Which doesn't happen at home.
He's got to go 8 for 27 and then kind of Brook Lopez, kind of the same deal. Doesn't make any threes like he did in game two, I believe. And then they just kind of have to get lucky.
It's so great how legacy goes either way. Yeah. The narrative goes either way. The NBA Finals gives you this great historic context.
And it's all been kind of tilted back and forth three different times in the last 2 weeks. Like, this series has been phenomenal basketball. These games have been awesome. Well, I think we only had one blowout.
And, you know, I found a fun stat early on in the NBA Finals is that since the first NBA Finals, there has been an ex-Nick on one roster for every single year of the NBA Finals. And that tradition continues with Langston Galloway and Bobby Portis. So either way, an ex-Nick will go home with a championship, following in the footsteps of Jeremy Lin with the Toronto Raptors. and so many great finals. Tony Douglas with the Miami Heat. I mean, it just continues on of just ex-Knicks in the finals. Barnes, Trevor Ariza.
After the break here, I want to ask you where you were for Linsanity.
Oh, I have a great story for that.
All right, so let's.
I have a great story for that that involves Ashanti.
Let's go to break.
All right, a little story time.
My goodness.
Coming up, we got Hallie Ledbetter checking in. She's from Golf Digest, going to talk about Colin's Open Championship win over the weekend. Hallie's going to call in from across the pond. Ben Lyons filling in here for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show.
Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Streaming right now on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome back to the show. Ben Lyons in for Rich. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Hour number two coming up. We're going to have Hallie Ledbetter checking in. Talk all things Open Championship. Hallie works, of course, for Golf Digest. Ben Lyons in for Rich. The Rich Eisen Show during the break was getting some Price is Right stories from TJ over there.
just like Brock,
just
man.
The fact that everyone laughs when I mention it tells me everything I need to know about your experience on Price is Right and how the peanut gallery here responds.
I think that I made an impression, Ben. That's all I'm saying.
Don't miss the chilling new Peacock original Dr. Death, based on the Wondery podcast, inspired by the true story of Dr. Christopher Dunch. This series goes deep on the dangerous surgeon who left 33 patients maimed, debilitated, or dead, and the heroes who took him down. Every episode of Dr. Death is streaming now on Peacock. Go to peacocktv.com to get started. 844-204-RICH at Rich Eisen Show. We've got another NBA Finals game coming up, but Brockman wanted to go down memory lane.
I did, Ben. So you are how would you classify yourself? Like enormous, psychotic, you type know, of Knicks fan?
Have to preface it with some type of phrase to sort of sum up your... Now, if you just say, I'm a New York Knicks fan, that just tells you a lot about somebody's psyche, like what they're willing to withstand, pain, whatever issue. Like, I'm a New York Knicks fan. No adjectives before it.
None. Yeah. Well, I mean, a great season. The pride is back, right?
No, there was nowhere to go but up when you arrest Charles Oakley. You know?
All right, so this is what I wanted to, because you mentioned his name at the end of last segment, Jeremy Lin, NBA champion.
Continued the tradition of ex-Knicks in the NBA Finals, a tradition unlike any other.
Was on that 2019 Toronto Raptors team, but we all know him for that few weeks in February of 2012 known as Linsanity. Where were you during those times? What are your stories? Because I know you've got some.
I was working as a correspondent for KnicksNow.com, which was the New York Knicks social media site and website and creating digital content. And I was hosting the blue carpet arrivals, which they set up outside the Garden on 7th Avenue the night the Knicks played the Lakers on a Friday night. In the heart of Linsanity. Now, mind you, the Wednesday before, I had gone with my dear friend, the Fat Jewish from Instagram, Josh Ostrowski, my buddy Fat Jew. We drove to D.C. to see John Wall versus Jeremy Lin, a rematch of Summer League a few years before, where Jeremy Lin had cooked John Wall. Now, something tells me John Wall, number one draft pick coming in Summer League, might have been having some fun in Vegas, just a guess. Jeremy Lin trying to make a roster, maybe took the game a little bit more serious.
Maybe.
But here they are having a rematch in Washington. And the Lin thing was just starting to bubble. And Lin has a tremendous game in Washington. They beat the Wizards. I have a photo of me and Fat Jew in Knicks gear outside the White House. Who knew things would get even crazier outside the White House years later? Then it's Friday night, Knicks-Lakers. The night before at the Boston Garden, they asked Kobe Bryant about Jeremy Lin. Kobe said, "Who's that? I don't know who that is." Okay. Sure. Blue carpet, 7th Avenue, Ben Stiller, Chase Crawford, Gossip Girl.
Nice.
The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, Idris Elba. I got Idris tickets, sat him next to Dolan, known Idris for many years.
Wow.
Shows up in the second half, but he was there. It's fine. I do the red carpet interview, blue carpet interviews.
Blue carpet.
Everybody's fired up. LJ's out there. Charles Smith. We don't interview Charles Smith. We have a great time. Ashanti sings the national anthem.
Ashanti.
It's a ESPN game, primetime game, 8 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
Melo's not playing.
Melo's out.
Future Hall of Famer Carmelo Anthony's not playing. That's how we're going to refer to him around you from now on, Brockman.
Totally
okay?
I love the guy.
Yeah, we're Melo.
Amari was out of the lineup, I think. Was busy getting an iced out menorah or finding a leather jacket with no sleeves, or I don't know what Amari was into at that time.
Wine baths? Isn't that a thing?
By the way, only athlete in the history of sports to bathe in wine?
Maybe.
Ooh, onto something
possibly?
There, Stat. And Ashanti's upset they sat her in the second row.
Oh, jeez.
She wanted to touch the wood. She wanted that Murder, Inc., those Murder, Inc. seats.
Murder.
Her and Fat Joe seats. But this is 2012 now. So they sat Ashanti in the second row. She left.
Oh, word?
I was with my buddy Peter Rosenberg, Hot 97, WWE guy.
Yeah.
Rosenberg in the building with me that night. We sat in Ashanti's second row seats for the Jeremy Lin game when he goes for 38 in the Garden against the Lakers. McEnroe's there. Justin Tuck is there. Honestly, it's the closest I have felt to being in heaven on earth.
Are you in this picture?
February 10th, 2012.
I have the framed Daily News from the next day that says Kobe who. I have it framed at the house with Jeremy Lin on the cover, 38 points. He's on the cover of Sports Illustrated 1 week. The next week, on the cover of Sports Illustrated, he gives Dirk and the defending champion Dallas Mavericks a 30-piece in the Garden. Now, people remember about Linsanity. I was there. I was there for the Washington game. I was there for the Kobe game. I interviewed The Rock. The Rock was there. Dwayne Wade and LeBron James did a Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen to Tony Kukoc in the 92 Olympics on the Thursday night before the All-Star break on TNT, ending Linsanity, ending Jeremy Lin's run in New York. He didn't play in the postseason that year. Yep. They lose to Miami that year. Melo goes for 41 in the game where Baron Davis blew out his knee in game four. But I have so much love for Jeremy Lin. There will never be anything like it again in sports. Are you kidding me? I was there for his first game as a member of the New York Knicks at Oracle when he was just a no-name in the league. And I have a video. I say, hey, Jeremy, welcome to New York at Oracle. They lost. Monte Ellis went off.
He played 1 minute, 27 seconds in that first game of the season.
At Oracle, correct?
At Oracle, yeah.
Look at that. Man, when you're a Knicks fan, you hold on to these moments, guys. You hold on to these moments, these Friday nights in February in 2012 when they're two games over 500 and Jerry Jeffries got his braces taken off and you throw a parade.
Linsanity started February 4th, 2012 against the New Jersey Nets.
Yep.
Lin had 25 in that game, 25 and 7 assists. And as you mentioned, it ended February 23rd.
Somebody made a cover song of that Gautier song.
At Miami.
That like somebody that I used to know song was about Jeremy Lin going to Houston. There was something at the time, memory serves, and because Dolan is such a wizard with how he works the cap and manages the books at Cablevision, I think there was some clause that if they signed Jeremy Lin for $8 million, he'd have to get some extension where they have to pay him $50 million or something like that. So they let him walk to Houston. He got his bag.
They went 9-2.
What did he go for in that Miami game? What was his line against D-Wade and LeBron that night?
It was not great. So he played 34 minutes. He was 1 of 11.
Ooh, that's a tough night down in South Beach.
1 of 11 from the 4, 0 of 2 from 3, went 6 of 6 from the line for 8 points.
Isn't that like exactly what it was? It was Tony Kukoc getting shut down in the 92 Olympics by Michael and Scotty saying, man, we're not going to let this be there. Because the conversation was, well, should Jeremy Lin be an All-Star? Like, I mean, he's only played for 8 games, but the All-Star game's next week, and it's a fan event, and the fans want to see him.
It was minus 19.
What a time to be alive, guys.
The Knicks lost by 14.
Yeah, and after that, years after that, what, they traded a first-round draft pick and Steve Novak for Andrea Bargnani.
Life of a Knicks fan.
Hey, Phil, we're Dallas. We should throw in Jay Crowder in this trade for Tyson Chandler. No, we're good. We don't need Jay Crowder. We're the Knicks. We're good. We're okay on that. Remember that trade?
Gosh, I love Jay Crowder. He's like that guy.
This is how
he can do so many different things.
He's so good. He hit a big game 4 and it wasn't enough for Phoenix. But Jay Crowder is tough guy. This dude's one on your team.
Yeah. He was great for Boston.
Knicks, man, we're good. We'll just take the draft rights that ended up to be Klee Anthony early. You guys, I met Klee Anthony early at LA Live. I was starstruck. I thought, oh my God, this guy is going to save the Knicks.
You really thought that?
I'll find it in my phone. I have a photo with Klee Anthony early and the look of hope on my face. Oh my God.
But now you have Julius Randle, you're back.
Here's the thing with the Knicks love affair, and I didn't really want to go down this rabbit hole, but we can.
We've got the whole week.
They got a lot of choices to make. Like, do you pay Julius Randle? What if Julius Randle says, "Hey, you guys got a team option on me? I'll be a free agent. I'd like 4 years, $160 million, please."
No thanks.
Okay, well then I'll just be a free agent after this year.
It's kind of like the Celtics with Isaiah Thomas a few years ago.
Hey, I'm Derrick Rose. I just had a career year. I'm back. Everybody loves me. Can I get 3 years, $50 million, please?
No.
What? You see the numbers I put up this year? What do you do if you're the Knicks?
Go get it somewhere else.
Hey, I'm Nerlens Noel. I had a great year. Mitchell Robinson, he's been a space cadet. Can I go get 2 years guaranteed? think at 2 years, $20 million, I'm Nerlens Noel.
I think you run back your hope a couple years ago in the draft. You put all your eggs in the Zion basket.
Now you're talking. That's it. We inceptioned it. There we go.
You team him back up on RJ Barrett.
Let's start like, the let's trade go. Now. Ben Lyons filling in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. We are coming back in 20 minutes with Hallie Ledbetter calling in, talking some golf. Ben Lyons in for Rich, the Rich Eisen Show.